Study 8 weeks to go, let the games begin. It's a fantasy league. Gonna make some noise within. Got my team assembled, ready to take the crown. I'll dominate this league, tear it down to the ground. I've got my strikers up top, ready to score the goals. Midfield maestro in the show, control the flow. Defensive wall standing tall, won't let them through. Goalkeeper with the gloves, gonna save me too.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to 38 Weeks to Go. So, how are you feeling about that new intro? Let me know. The double game week is done. How is everybody feeling about it? Well, I for one, I am pretty happy with how things went. I got over 100 points. 131 points to be exact. All that, and Salah was my captain. Man, that man. Actually, I am removing him now from my team so that I can't choose him as captain. Because his fixtures deceive me and I can't overcome it. So I need to get him out of my team so that I can think freely. I managed to escape my Haaland maximalist beliefs, but I can't get over Salah. I don't know why. So I need to remove him from my team to just be able to think freely. So I lost 16 points to make these transfers happen. And one of those was really unfortunate because I brought in Cunha, then discovered he was injured. So I had to remove him, but then I brought in Mateta. So that was the best thing ever. So I'm happy Cunha got injured. Others would have been very bitter. So I removed Pedro Porro. I removed Son, Muniz, Kelleher, and Bradley. So I had two free transfers. And then I just lost points for the rest. I brought in Mateta, Eze, Henderson, and Trent Alexander-Arnold, and one more, Senesi. And those players brought me a total of 64 points, so that was transfers that were worth it, I guess. Mateta on his own was better than the whole free hit that I used the other week. I'm telling you, fantasy is so humbling. You think you figured it out, and then bam, nothing. There were 6 clean sheets, and Arsenal and Everton got 4 of those. Yes, Arsenal and Everton. Everton got 2 clean sheets. Against Nottingham Forest, that one was kind of expected, like I had said, but against Liverpool, that was surprising. Also, if you look at the goals Everton scored against Nottingham Forest. Oh, you're like, okay. These guys want to finish the season strong. Beautiful finishes, beautiful goals. My picks for goals of the weekend, both of them. There were very many high-scoring games. Just last night, Brighton were beaten 4-0 by Man City. Man United beat Sheffield 4-2. Arsenal beat Chelsea 5-0. Luton were beaten by Brentford 5-1. Sheffield were beaten by Burnley 4-1. But the highest scoring game of the weekend was Crystal Palace 5, West Ham 2. For the whole season, I've been telling you guys that Crystal Palace are at their best when they have both Eze and Olise available. This was just a perfect example of it. My big unpopular opinion this week is that if these guys had been fit for most of the season, Roy Hodgson would still have his job because that's all Crystal Palace needs, these two guys to be available. They have a new manager and he's getting a lot out of them. I won't lie, I was hopeful when I picked Mateta and Eze. I didn't know Olise was available at the time, but I just thought if anything, like I said in the preview, if anything's going to happen from this team, it's going to be Mateta, Eze, and I think I said Ayew or something like that. And when I brought in my Crystal Palace players, I was targeting the Newcastle game because Newcastle have been horrible away from home. So I was counting on that game. That's why I brought in even the goalkeeper. I thought West Ham, it could be a high scoring game, but I thought 2-2, 1-1. I just thought they would concede. But I was confident about Newcastle. Crystal Palace just came out of the gates and just ran these guys off the pitch. Maybe having lost to Leverkusen over the two ties had an impact on maybe West Ham's fitness, but Crystal Palace were the better team by far. They were just so quick, so dynamic, so much more energized than West Ham were. West Ham was sloppy, slow, unfocused, and they just... This game came maybe a day or two too early for them. The goals that they conceded weren't that complicated. They were goals just lack of concentration, lack of effort from the defense. However, the worst goal of the game was the own goal from Henderson. If you haven't seen it, it's painful. It's the kind that if you lose 1-0, you might even sell the keeper. Mateta scored two goals. Eze won, Olise won. The assists came from Anderson, Eze, Hughes, Mateta, and Olise. You can just see how Mateta, Olise, Eze contributed everything to this game. And it was reflected in the bonus. Mateta 3, Olise 2, Eze 1. In the preview episode, I spoke about how Liverpool had a shaky record away at Goodison Park against Everton. And this was just proof that sometimes history knows what it's talking about. Everton 2, Liverpool 0 was the most disappointing game of the weekend, mainly because Salah was most of our captains, and also because this has probably ruled them out of the title race. It was fun for a three-legged horse race for the title, but now it's just Man City, Arsenal. Those two are playing so well right now, it's so hard to imagine them slipping up. Braithwaite and DCL, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, scored the goals for Everton. And they kept two clean sheets. When I was talking about choosing Everton players, I was just really telling you guys to focus on the defense. And over the season, I've just been saying, it's very hard to pick out who will score, but they can defend. And they only win when they defend well. I know it sounds cliche, but it's particularly true for Everton. This was a great double game week. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out the top players who got over 10 points in each category. But I'm going to start, as usual, with the top performer of the week. So, the top performers of this game week were Mateta, number 1, with 29 points. White from Arsenal, with 26 points. Odegaard and Braithwaite were tied for 3 and 4, with 20 points. And then rounding up the top 5 is Pickford and Fernandes, who both got 18 points. Fernandes only had one game. Very impressive. The top goalkeeping performance came from Everton's goalkeeper, Pickford, who had 18 points. Raya from Arsenal was second, with 16. Bournemouth's keeper, Travers, who played one game because Neto got injured in the first one, he had 9. Muric and Ederson were tied fourth and fifth, with 7. When it comes to defenders, I'm going to read everybody who got over 10 points. Ben White, number 1, 26. Braithwaite, 20. Saliba, 14. Asignon and Walker, 14. Tarkowski, 13. Gabriel and Maguire, 12. Anderson, 11. Trent Alexander-Arnold, 10. So those are just the possibilities of defenders you guys could have chosen. When it comes to the midfield, Odegaard was the best midfielder, 20 points. Bruno Fernandes, 18. And I was telling you guys, I've been noticing how good he is because of Melvin's team where he's been captaining him the whole season. Maybe there was something to that. Bruno Fernandes, second, 18. Havertz, 17. Dwight McNeil, 16, along with Foden. Trossard and Eze and Idrissa Gunageye got 14. Leon Bailey and Olise got 13. Hughes and Diogo Jota got 12. Also, Diogo Jota got injured, so don't bring him in. Rice got 11. Gravenbach, Hammer, got 10.
As always, midfield has been king this season. Strikers weren't that impressive.
Mateta, 29 points. Wiese, 13 points. Semenyo, 10. Watkins, 9. And in fifth was a tie between Solanke and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who had 8.
So this was a kind of game week where defense and midfield carried the day.
Now for some fun facts. 22,948 managers captained Mateta. Can you believe that? Now, 914 triple captained him. And if you triple captained Mateta, you got 87 points. So just one player beat very many people just being triple captained. Manchester United club members this week were messaged to be told that many tickets had become available because a lot of season holders returned tickets. So the Sheffield game had so much availability. It seems like the fans are not quite happy with what's going on at Old Trafford.
This loss for Liverpool was the first time Jurgen Klopp lost at Goodison Park, and it was his last game there. Only two Everton managers have won a derby against Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool.
Carlo Ancelotti and Sean Dyche.
Game week 34 was the fourth highest use of the free hit. Game week 29, of course, was the first one with 1,700,000. Game week 26 was 365,000. Game week 25 was 295,000. And this game week 34 was 283,000. And I'm sure this was a much better use of that free hit.
In terms of chips used, and a chip is just like a wild card, free hit, bench boost, triple captain, this was the third highest of the season.
Game week 25 had 2.3 million. Game week 29 had 1.8 million. Game week 34, 1.2 million.
Crystal Palace's Olise has only made 10 starts this season. In those, he has registered 4 double-digit hauls. And he has blanked 3 times, so he's been a good bet when available.
Monitor his fitness, get those points.
Pickford's 11th clean sheet of the season has moved him on top of the goalkeeper standings. He has been the best keeper in the Premier League this season, in spite of their struggles.
Funny thing I heard the other day, people were calling the match for Everton versus Nottingham Forest the points deduction derby.
With his 29-point haul, Mateta joins a list where he is now the third. The list is the most FPL points by a forward in a game week.
Number one is Rooney with 32. Number two is Harry Kane with 31. Number three is Mateta with 29. Number four is Aguero with 26.
These hauls were all in double game weeks. Below them, we have
Berbatov with 25, Aguero with 25, Defoe with 25, Suarez with 24, Jesus with 24.
Basically, what Mateta did is a big deal. Those are big names.
Sheffield have conceded 92 goals.
This breaks Derby's 38 Premier League game record. So they've conceded the most in Premier League history while 38 games were still being played.
The current holder is Swindon, who conceded 100 when it was a 42-game season.
So they can make some history. Just not the right kind.
With his impressive haul of 26, Ben White moves 21 points clear of the nearest defender, his teammate Saliba, into the top 10 players of the game. Like, he's having an amazing season. He has had 16 attacking returns and 31 clean sheets. His 323 points is the highest aggregate for any defender over the last two seasons,
with Trippier coming in at number 2 with 306. Basically, get Ben White and forget about it.
Now, having said that, 26 is impressive, but where does it rank in the history of the FPL? So, the most points scored by a defender in a game week in FPL history. Number 1, Matty Cash, 29 points. Number 2, John Anerisa, 27 points.
Except John Anerisa's was against one team.
Watson, 27 points versus Leeds. John Stones versus Palace and Aston Villa, 27 points. And finally, we have Ben White, 26 points versus Wolves and Chelsea.
And so that puts him fifth overall. Now, in FPL history, only two players have reached the landmark of 20 goals and 20 assists. One, of course, is the GOAT, Thierry Henry, 24 goals, 23 assists. Number two, Luis Suarez, 30 goals, 25 assists. Now, Watkins is on the verge of that. He has 19 goals and he has 17 assists. So, he just needs one more goal and three more assists. There are four more games left. Anything is possible. Now, in a ranking of Europe's top five leagues, with at least 30 shots in all competitions, it has been discovered that Nicholas Jackson is ranked second last with a 32% conversion rate. Do you know who dead last is? His boy, Darwin Nunez, with 20%. I hope that convinces you that these two people are the same thing. So, if you're a stats guy, it means that you should replace Darwin Nunez with Nicholas Jackson. Big brain moves, boy. I mean, it's a double game week. What do you have to lose? An upgrade is an upgrade. I have just alluded to it. But Ollie Watkins is having an amazing season. He currently has a haul of 217 points. There are four games left to go. The top performing forwards of all time are in the high 200s. The list looks like this. Suarez, 295. He's a top performing striker of all time. Haaland last season, 272. Imagine, as amazing as he was 23 points behind Luis Suarez. That's amazing. Number three is Thierry Henry, 271 points. And then number three and four are Robin Van Persie, 269, 262. Kane has 242. Henry has 242. Drogba has 242. Ollie Watkins is currently sitting on 217. With four games left to go, where will he finish?
A fun stat, just to complement the other thing I was saying about Jackson and Suarez. And Nunez. Mateta in game week 34, 16 points. Nunez in the last five game weeks, 16 points. This next stat may or may not surprise you.
Number one most captained player this week was Salah.
Mo Salah.
Captained by 86.77%. So all of us sheep made the wrong decision. Now, number two was Bukayo Saka, who was 6.57. That's low, but quite impressive.
Six. That's how much belief people had in Salah. Anyway. And then number three
was Eze with 2.4%. So if you chose somebody else, you guys really went against the crowd. Well done. You were probably correct. Before this game week, Mo Salah had gone 45 game weeks without consecutive blanks, meaning that if he had a blank this week, he would score or assist in the next one. So that has been broken. In the recent game against Chelsea, Arsenal hammered them 5-0, yeah? And as you know, Havertz scored two goals. Chelsea, their social media team is super petty. So their social media team presented the scores like this. Trossard, 1-0. Ben White, 2-0. Arsenal score again. Arsenal score again. Ben White, 5-0. They completely refused to mention Havertz. For this incoming game week, the five most potent players are Isak, Son, Bruno Fernandes, Foden, and Gordon. The top transfers out for this game week. Salah, not surprising. Haaland, Darwin Nunez, Saka, and Luis Diaz. So as you can see, people are losing their faith in Liverpool players. When it comes to our league, Eze was the most brought in player with 10 people bringing him in, followed by Mateta, who was brought in by about 7 players. Virgil van Dijk was number 3 with about 8. Solanke with 7. Saka, Darwin Nunez, White, Saliba, and Salah.
and Henderson were brought in by about 3 or 4 players. Most transferred people out was all the Tottenham players, I guess. Son, number one, with over 10 people selling him, followed by Pedro Porro, and then Haaland. You guys who got rid of Haaland, well done. And then, of course, Bradley, because he got injured.
The average for the game week was 76 points. Can you believe that? 76. That must be the highest yet. So the average for the game week was 76 points. So if you got 76 and above, well done. The highest of the week got 219 points. You heard me correctly. 219 points. I will post his team in the Instagram page, so just check it out and you'll see it for yourself. But the most interesting thing is that up until last night, it was somebody else who had 216 points. That man had triple captained Mateta. This 219 points was gotten courtesy of a bench boost, probably the best use of a bench boost ever. So he had Pickford, 18 points. Tarkowski and Young, 7 and 13 points. Gomez from Liverpool, 2 points. Salah, 3 points. Fernandes, he had him, 18 points. He had Kai Havertz as his captain, good choice, 34 points. Then he had Eze, 14 points. Mateta, 29. Watkins, 9. Solanke, 8. On the bench, this must be the highest bench ever. Raya, 16 points. Ben White, 26 points. Mitchell, 6 points. Foden, 16 points. And it's Foden last night which took him over the other guy who has 216 points. In fact, I think I'll put up both of those teams just so that you can see the difference. There's so many ways to play fantasy, guys. This will just be a good example of that. When it comes to our table, man, you have to give it up for our boy Tommy. He has been killing it of late. I think he was the highest last week and a week or two ago before that. He finished with 135 points. Well done to you, sir. Second was me with 131 points. Bench boost was really great for me. Then we had Mato, who had 128 points. And then Peter Dennis, who had 125 points. And then Why Are You Running, who had 122 points. Sorry, just before him, Kimmel Mutinda, who had 123 points. Fun fact, 11 of 25 people got over 100 points in our table. Well done, guys. This is a serious league. The average for our league was 94 points. Can you believe that? 94 points was the average of our league. We were roughly 18 points above the global average. So we are doing very well. Looking at Tommy's team, at the back, he had Raya, 16, Ben White, 26, Branthwaite, 20, Walker, 14, Garnacho, 5, Foden, 16, Saka, 9, Kudus, 2, Solanke, who was his captain, 16, Isak, 2, Watkins, 9. And he didn't use a bench boost or anything like that. Can you believe that? That's just his starting 5. I mean, had his starting 5. Starting 11. Well done. And he only used one transfer. If you listen to his interview in the past, he said he believed in his team. He doesn't believe in Haaland. Everything he said is still true about his team. And it's quite interesting to see how people think about their fantasy team. So just listen back to that interview. It was a good one. I'm going to talk to him and figure him out. We're going to talk again in this coming week. There's just no time today because there's only one day between today and the game week. But we will talk next week. This guy deserves an interview just to make up for the 3 game weeks. He's been amazing. At the top of our table, we have a new leader. And his name is Vic Nyadi, manager of Vic City. He got 114 points, which gave him a complimentary 2,114 points. 114, 2114. Nice. So that takes him 10 points ahead of Alexander Mutune. Don't bottle it. He got 94 for 2104. It's so interesting. It seems like there's a rhyming scheme. But he has opened up a 10-point lead over Don't Bottle It this year. Number 3 is, goodness gracious me, managed by Sim Nanijua. He has 111 points and he got 2101. Roughly 21 points behind him is Why Are You Running? He got 122 points. He is trying to make up the gap. Keep running, brother. And rounding up the top 5 is Mr. Tommy, who got 135 points, 2057. So he's about 22 points behind Leon.
he has also opened up a 40-point gap between him and the previous number 5, LED, who he has overtaken now. Ellie has 2017. At the bottom of the table, you have Jeremiah Obiri, who of course has not changed his team for forever. Captain Haaland, Vice-Captain Rashford, 38 points. If it wasn't for Melvin Kathrima, I wouldn't really know how well Bruno Fernandes is doing. It's just by looking at this team that shows me that Bruno Fernandes has been very good over the last 5-6 games. And that is who I'll be replacing Salah with. He got 79 points. He is 70 points clear of Jeremiah Obiri, and I think Jeremiah Obiri is kind of our Sheffield now. He's done. Number 23, Guns and Moses, Mohamed Jibril, got 79 points. He has 1694. Moses, Team Kubo, has 71 points. He has 1757. Number 21, Tagana, who sleeps through storms, got 92 points. A really good game week. Just 2 below our league average. Can you believe that? That's wild. Anyway, he has 1835. And Kumail Mutinda, who got 123, blew by him for number 20. And he has 1851. With 4 weeks left to go, the table at the top is not yet clear. It's not yet settled. At the bottom, it's pretty much done. But at the top, there's still something to fight for. It's looking even like if Tommy keeps this up, he could win it. But tonight, there is pressure. Vic City, well done. So, looking at the fixtures, it technically is a double game week, but maybe not the kind that we wanted. Chelsea and Spurs are playing twice. These two teams have the most questionable form of everyone. They're so unpredictable. There are definitely points to be had. If you're Chelsea, you're hoping that Palmer is fit, and he's probably going to be the most captained player this weekend, followed by probably Son, who has been disappointing of late. Now, the thing that's really weird about this double game week is that the games are not easy. Chelsea's two games are against Spurs and Aston Villa. Are you really going to bring a defender in for that? And then Spurs are playing Arsenal and Chelsea. Are they going to keep a clean sheet in any of those games? I don't know. So, it's not the typical game week we're looking for, but it's the one we have. Kicking off our game week will be West Ham versus Liverpool. It's the early kickoff at 2:30 lunchtime. In the Premier League, in their most recent encounters, Liverpool have won 4 out of their 5 games. Liverpool, in theory, are favourites for this game, but given their form, I wouldn't quite be so sure about it. There will be goals, but will they win? I don't know. West Ham, we hope they will have rested enough now. Now that they're out of Europe, maybe they can muster up something and prove to be a challenge for Liverpool. Both teams are not in great form. They've both lost 3 of their last 5 games. And so, to be honest, you can convince me that any one of these teams can beat each other. But I would still give the edge to Liverpool, just not to Salah. West Ham haven't kept a clean sheet in 8 games, so they will be gotten at, and they give away penalties. So actually, this might be the game to have Salah, since he only seems to be scoring from penalties of late. That is some food for thought. The last time Liverpool scored a non-penalty goal, Trent and Gavin Buck and Jota were the guys who scored. Jota has since gotten injured. He got injured against Fulham, and he's out. So there is likely to be a penalty, so I would say Salah still. Trent and maybe Luis Diaz. For West Ham, I would say Antonio, Paqueta, Ward-Prowse. Fulham versus Crystal Palace. In their 5 recent encounters, they have 3 draws and a win apiece. So it's fairly balanced. But if you're to go by form, Crystal Palace have won their last 3 games, while Fulham have only won 1 of their last 3 games. Palace are undefeated in 3. Mateta is on a high. This is the right time to have them. If you're choosing Crystal Palace players, you know the drill. Olise, Mateta, and Eze. If you're going to choose Fulham players, Muñiz scores at home, so him, and then De Cordova Reed, and he will be. If you want to go into the back, you know you have their goalkeeper, and you have either Robinson or Castagne.
And Pereira, who should never be forgotten when talking about Fulham. Man United versus Burnley. Man United are a team that are unpredictable. The only thing I can tell is that I don't expect a clean sheet from them. I mean, 3-3 with Coventry, they almost lost that game. Sheffield 4-2, it was dicey for a bit. Burnley, you'd think that this would be a walkover, but I mean, it should be. It really should be, but it isn't straightforward. In their last 5 games against them, Man U have won 4 and drawn 1. They are favourites for this fixture. Their most reputed outcome in this game is 3-1. In the last encounter, Fernandes is the one who scored. I think I'll be trading Salah for him. I was looking at the scorers in their last 5 fixtures, and the scorers are quite fascinating. Just listen to this. 1-0, Fernandes. 2-0, Eriksen and Rashford. 1-1, Pogba. 3-1, McTominay, me, Ronaldo. 3-1, Greenwood and Cavani. I just thought it was interesting. Anyway, so if you're choosing a Man United player, Garnacho, Fernandes, that's it. Don't even, and if you have to, Hoyland. Burnley, Arsenal, Odobert, Lyle Foster, just choose one of those three. And Brun Larsen, of course. Man U haven't kept a clean sheet in 7 matches, so don't bother. Then, what's this? Burnley haven't kept on in 17 matches, so there are going to be goals in this one. Newcastle versus Sheffield United. The last time these two teams met, it was 8-0. So I think I'm going to be bringing Isak into my team because I know him and Gordon are just going to go wild. In fact, my captain might come from this fixture. Sheffield might concede at 100 goals in this game. Newcastle obviously have a better head-to-head record and should be favourites to win this game. They're at home. They tend to perform well at home. Gordon tend to perform well at home. So for all of you guys who have your Fabian Schär, this is a game for him, and this is a game for Gordon, and this is a game for Isak. Those three. If you're choosing more than that, you can't. You just can't. If you're choosing Sheffield to somehow recover their pride for this fixture, Bereton Diaz, McBurney, McAtee. Newcastle are unbeaten at home in their last 6 fixtures. Sheffield have not won a game in 10 matches. They haven't kept a clean sheet in 15 matches. Horrible form. Wolves versus Luton. By this point, it is clear that the fire that Luton had is gone. They can still score against anybody. They just can't seem to score and win. So they're still good for if you're looking for somebody to score a differential. That's fine. But for them to win, I think pretty much at this point, it looks like the season is done unless probably either Nottingham Forest or Everton get more points deductions. Having said that, in the last 3 fixtures, Luton have drawn 2 and beaten Wolves 1. Both teams are not in a great patch of form. Wolves have drawn 2 of the last 5 matches and lost the rest. Luton have lost 4 of the last matches and won 1. So 4 losses, 1 win. Wolves have not scored in their last 2 matches and haven't kept a clean sheet in their last 9. Luton haven't kept a clean sheet in their last 14 matches and haven't won an away game in their last 7 attempts. This sounds like it might be ugly and boring, which is weird because these two teams play such good football, or rather entertaining football, so I'm expecting goals. 2-2, 1-1, 3-3, something like that. Cunha is back, so I'll be choosing him, the Korean guy, and Ait Nuri. Over the last few matches, Luton haven't had a consistent scorer. So if you choose a guy like Berry or Barkley or Clark or Morris, those are your likely goal scorers? Even Chong? Those are the last 5 goal scorers. So you just pick the guy who you think will perform and good luck to you. Everton and Brentford. These two teams have been in good form of late and it could be hard to pick a winner. Everton have the better recent record in their last 5 games, having won 3 out of the 5, losing 1 and drawing 1. There is only 1 clean sheet in this match, and therefore this might be a game where people score. And if you're looking for goal scorers, Dominic Calvert-Lewin seems to be picking up some kind of form. And Dwight McNeil? After that, just pick your defenders if you believe in a clean sheet in this game, but the odds are that there will be goals. Wissa, Reguilon, and maybe Mbeumo would be my top three players to choose from Brentford. Just remember, Brentford haven't lost in the last five matches, so that may say that this could be a draw. Don't write either team off in this fixture. Aston Villa versus Chelsea. Aston Villa favourites for this fixture. That goes without saying. In the Premier League, Aston Villa have won their three most recent fixtures and lost their older two. Does that make sense? Like if you're counting backwards. Aston Villa have won the last three games and then lost the two games before them. So they have the better recent record. Although in the FA Cup, Chelsea knocked them out, which was surprising. And well done. If you're going to choose an Aston Villa player, you know that it is Watkins, then maybe Leon Bailey and Diaby. If you want, you can get into like Douglas Luiz, but those should be your top three. When it comes to Chelsea, after Palmer, it's really dealer's choice. I would not get a defender from Chelsea, even if they're playing twice, you'll just get 1-1. There's really no point in that. So after that, maybe you gamble on Nicholas Jackson and maybe Conor Gallagher. Maybe Madueke, maybe Sterling. It's really whatever you want. But after Palmer, it really becomes messy. Fun fact, if Palmer wasn't playing in Chelsea, they would be in the relegation scrap right now. Of course, that's not quite true, but you know what I mean. If you take away his points. The funniest thing about this fixture is that it totally wouldn't surprise me if Chelsea won, because Chelsea are just Jekyll and Hyde. They can totally hammer this team 4-0, but they could also lose 7-1. In terms of recent form, Aston Villa, out of 5, have won 3, lost 1, and drawn 1. That's great. Chelsea have lost 2, won 2, drawn 1. So they're both in relatively positive form. But I think Aston Villa has a slight edge, and they're better managed. Aston Villa are at home, and they're unbeaten in their last 5 games. And they've scored 11 in their last 5 matches, so when they score, they tend to score more than one. Chelsea will be looking for penalties. They haven't scored in their last 2 matches. So it's going to be a tough one. In Palmer, we trust, right? Captain? Bournemouth play Brighton on Sunday. Brighton have just fizzled off. They've just quietly disappeared. Nobody really thinks about them. They're just there mid-table doing their thing. They're not great. They're not bad. They're just meh. Looking at Brighton's last 5 games, 3 losses, 2 draws. Meh. Bournemouth, 2 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. They're in better form. Bournemouth have been a good team this season. Maybe even the surprise team of the season. If you're choosing players from Bournemouth, Solanke, Semenyo, Clivert. And then after that, it's choose your own. If you have preferred Bournemouth players, because there are many to choose from. For Brighton, they really have Gross, Welbeck, Adingra. Their recent head-to-head is overwhelmingly in Brighton's favour, but recent form suggests that Brighton may not have it all their way. Brighton are, however, unbeaten in 5 home games. And coincidentally, Brighton haven't won a game in 5 attempts, as you've just heard me speak. But they do have a good record against them, so who knows? Maybe they're the bogey team. The marquee game of the weekend will be the North London Derby, Arsenal versus Tottenham. In their last 5 encounters, Arsenal have won 3, lost 1, drawn 1. So they will be favourites for this game. In terms of recent form, Arsenal have won 2, lost 2, drawn 1. Tottenham have lost 2, won 2, drawn 1, so their form is comparable. Spurs have had more rest recently, so they will be fresher. They didn't play in the previous game week. So that means maybe Son, Richarlison, Kulusevski, Brennan Johnson. Those should be your favourite players. Because this is a kind of game where they need to score. But that's where the goals will be coming from. Should they manage to score. From the Arsenal side, I'm going to stick with my Kai Havertz. I know people have their Sakas and their Odegaards. So you just choose whatever's working for you. You just continue with that because you know how you feel about your Arsenal players. And your Arsenal defenders. I would just say Ben White is the best defender in terms of returns, so get him. Apart from that, just choose whoever you want. Now, Spurs haven't kept a clean sheet in the last 5 matches, so for you Vicario lovers, this may not be the one for having him. Arsenal are the best team in the Premier League away from home. They are number one. They have a better away record than a home record. Now, they have also kept the most clean sheets in this competition with 16. So, they are favoured in this game. They have been amazing this season. Only Man City will be able to stop them. They did stumble to Aston Villa recently, so it's possible that Spurs could cause an upset. It is not a written-off fixture by any means. The final game of the game week will be Manchester City versus Nottingham Forest. As you know, Manchester City have a favourite record against pretty much everyone. So they've won 2 and drawn 1 against Nottingham Forest. If Haaland is available, he has done really well in this fixture. So has Foden. So those are the two strongest players. I don't know if Haaland is available. And if not, this is sure that Alvarez will play. So maybe Alvarez, maybe Haaland. But for sure Foden or KDB, since there's no Europe anymore. Man City have won 3 of their last 5 games and they've drawn the other 2. Nottingham Forest have won 1 out of the last 5, drawn 2 and lost 2. So they're not in bad form, but they're playing Man City, so there shouldn't really be anything for them in this game. However, if you do believe that they will get something, Morgan Gibbs-White will be the man to do anything about it. Then you have Wood, and then Callum Hudson-Odoi or Elanga. Note that I haven't mentioned the defenders because they haven't kept a clean sheet in 10 matches. Now, when it comes to looking at captain choices, what are people thinking? If you're choosing either of the double gaming players, your choices are really Palmer, Son, Brennan Johnson, but I feel like choosing Son is like choosing Salah now. If fit, you know that anything good that will come out of Chelsea will come through Palmer. So really all we have to do is really monitor his fitness. So, apart from the double game week players, who else is available for captaincy? Mateta against Fulham. Or Eze. Or Olise, depending on who you have. Bruno Fernandes against Burnley would be a great one as well. You have Newcastle versus Sheffield. Talk about a possibility for a huge differential. Isak or Gordon. Foden against Nottingham Forest could be good as well. And those are the biggest suggestions that I have. You could also go for Muniz at home. But given his recent form, that might be a bit of a stretch. And with that, thank you for listening. We'll see you on the pitch. Good luck. Bye.